SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two of the morning after on Sports Grid. Thanks for tuning in on Sirius XM channel 204 with Ben Stevens. I'm Ariel Epstein. This hour, we're going to go to the NFL futures market. The market is moving all over the place, and we're going to tell you about the MVPs. We also are going to have two great guests, sports professor from here on Sports Grid, Rick Caro, to talk about the business side of sports. The auction process is opening for New York in mobile betting. Who's going to win the race? We'll find out, hopefully, sooner rather than later. And we're going to be joined by Ryan Williams. He's going to talk some more NFL futures market with us as well. But first, the Olympics start tomorrow, officially. Those opening ceremonies will be tomorrow. There have been some things going on with team sports, like group play in soccer, etc. Also, softball. Women's softball was yesterday. And the women's U.S. team is actually 2-0 so far. They just picked up a win 1-0 over Team Canada, who's ranked third. They win yesterday, and Team USA undefeated, Ben.
It's a great start. We love to see it in group play. Softball back in the Olympics, and Team USA taking full advantage of that right now. So, although the opening ceremonies in Tokyo are tomorrow, Team USA off to a very good start in softball. We saw Team USA yesterday in women's soccer not get off to the best start, but Team USA in softball on the diamond looking pretty good so far. Maybe looking, or hopefully looking, I should say, to bring home gold in Tokyo.
This women's softball team did have a one-hitter thrown by Monica Abbott, who, I mean, a complete one-hit shutout. So Team USA, the softball team, off to a good start. Soccer yesterday, we did touch on it because the women's team played at 4:30 a.m. Eastern time yesterday. The women's team ends up losing 3-0. Now, that was their first loss in 44 games. The question was, when we were looking on the odds board, what are the odds for the U.S. women's team to end up winning golds for soccer? And this is a team that's supposed to be the best in the world. I looked at the odds. They finally got posted after our show yesterday, and Team USA has the best odds. They're at plus 105. There's a huge jump between Team USA and the Netherlands women's soccer team. It goes from plus 105 on FanDuel for Team USA to 5-1 for Netherlands, Great Britain, and Sweden, all with those second best odds, Ben.
I mean, when you look at the odds for individual matches as well that we have coming up early Saturday morning here in the AM hours on the East Coast, Sweden, the team that knocked off the U.S. yesterday in their match against Australia, Sweden's only a minus 175 favorite for that 90-minute bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook. You look at the USA taking on New Zealand on Saturday, 7:30 a.m. Eastern, so still early on your weekend, but not quite as early. Team USA is minus 4,000 as the favorites. Minus 4,000 in a 90-minute bet. And as you saw on the futures board, plus money on Team USA once again, which means having lost that opening match, they were probably minus money entering the Tokyo Olympics. So maybe there's some value back on Team USA, because I don't think you're going to lay minus 4,000 on the FanDuel Sportsbook for Team USA to win their match against New Zealand and bounce back. But you can go into some other areas like over-unders, 1.5, 2.5 goals, and try to find some value if you want to back the Team USA women's soccer team on Saturday morning. 7:30 a.m. Eastern, Ariel, a much better time for us to wake up and watch some U.S. women's soccer.
Yeah, please, Olympics. Can you give us here in the U.S. a better time for starting these matches? Come on, we can't wake up that early. Welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience. Second hour here on the morning after. Sirius XM Channel 204, the Mightier 1090 on the West Coast. With Ben Stevens, I'm Ariel Epstein. In basketball, Team USA is laying 11.5 points against France for the men's basketball team. That total is sitting at 178. That game's going to be Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern time. Ben, you were talking about this earlier in the week, about how these games are different than NBA games. Why are we seeing a total of a 178 as opposed to what we're used to in the NBA, which is over 200?
A 178 is like a Big 12 shootout in college basketball. You don't see totals like that very often. In fact, that would be quite an inflated total for college basketball, but I digress. When you look at Team USA in the Olympics, though, FIBA has different rules. It's only 40 minutes. It's a little bit more tightly contested. You can be a little bit more physical down in the paint. There's not as much speed and space as we see in NBA games throughout the years, where in the regular season, you might see totals in the 230s and 240s. That is not the case under FIBA rules for the Tokyo Olympics. That's why you're seeing a 178 in the hook for Team USA's opener against France. Minus 11.5? I don't mind that spread, by the way, for Team USA's opener in the Tokyo Olympics. I don't think that's too large. Now, listen, Team France is going to be a very good sign. The U.S. is not as far separated from the world as they once were, even dating back maybe about a decade to the 2012 Olympics with a redeemed team. It's not that big of a gap any longer. And, of course, you have France with guys like Rudy Gobert and some names that we know across the NBA that play against these guys each and every day throughout an NBA regular season and into the postseason. But 11.5 is not too long of a spread that I would not be tempted of backing Team USA against that number. I'm going to let things play out a little bit in the Tokyo Olympics before I dive into those totals, because the exhibition matches would have gone over that total of 178.5, I think, for the most part. Let's see how things are now when competition truly matters in group play as we get into the Tokyo Olympics here in a few days.
You know what I'm going to ask John Sheeran on Monday? He's not going to be here tomorrow. I'm going to ask him about props. I want to see props out on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I want props for these basketball games. The one thing I love about basketball, where it doesn't feel this way for many other sports, and everyone caps differently, basketball, to me, you could just take numbers, bet good spots. Other sports, you really have to look into a lot more analytics, where the NBA, there's just really a numbers game that you can use to try to beat the book. That's why I'd be so interested by this men's basketball prop market. Rick Caro, the sports professor here at Sports Grid, joining us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here on the Morning After on Sports Grid, Sirius XM Channel 204 with Ben Stevens. I'm Ariel Epstein. Joining the show from here on Sports Grid, it's our sports professor, Rick Caro. Rick, I have to be honest with you. We actually had odds set by our intern, Jack, to figure out where you're going to be today. You want to hear them? We've got the odds ready to go. You ready?
Go. Do it. Yeah.
All right. A car in Florida, favorite, plus 125. Home, plus 250. A car in New England, plus 410. Randomly on top of some mountain in the middle of nowhere was an odds boost of 35-1. What do you think?
Well, I'll be at all four are correct if you started 4 days ago and you go to the next 10 days. All four are correct. Plus, at Jersey, at Washington, at the Eastern Shore, at Saucon Valley for golf, by the way, at Harvard Law. My daughter, shameless plug, has finished her bar exam, so I'm going to take her to McDonald's. And Albany, New York, and New Hampshire. How's that? What do you think?
That's great.
4 days?
Yeah. And no. Well, no. From 4 days before this show to 10 days after the show. So it's all good. Through August 3rd. But I'm not getting specific.
What I took from all that.
Ben, I don't want you to know where I am. Huh?
What I took from all that, Rick, is that if I was your daughter, I'd be emancipated at 16 years old, because if you're taking me to McDonald's for passing my bar exam, I'd never talk to you again. But let's dive into the sports business side of things, because the thing that's going to impact my life isn't about McDonald's. It's about any of these sports books giving us mobile operating in New York State, because the operators are going to be bidding now for this spot in New York. Only two operators are allowed in the state for mobile betting. What have you been hearing update-wise regarding the auction process?
Well, I will tell you this. I'm going to Albany August 2nd, and I'm going to have some meetings with some of those folks. So that week, I'm going to know a lot more than I do today. What I know today is that they're going to get the highest bidder involved, but they're not going to eliminate the opportunity to have mobile betting in other places in the future. So, for example, we know that NYRA and the tracks, we know that Yankee and City Field are not eligible. We know that arenas are not eligible yet, but they're all reevaluating at the end of the year. So this is a shakeout period for those two spots, and then we'll see what those are. Those spots give you a front-running position for about a year, but it doesn't guarantee any exclusivity long-term. If I'm New York, I grab as much money as I can by bidding everybody against everybody else. So the money goes to schools and education and lottery money and infrastructure and all that stuff, like it does in Pennsylvania, like it does in Jersey.
Rick, right now across the country, we have college football media days popping up. The Big 12 last week, the SEC this week, the Big 10 starts today. And one of the main topics of conversation, not Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC, but NIL. It's been about 3 weeks since that has been passed. What's the legal process looking like behind the scenes for some federal legislation getting passed for NIL?
Wild, 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 wild west. This is a classic example of where the federal government should be involved. But they're not. They have other things to do, like pass infrastructure and voting rights and all those things. We're not going to talk about that today. But look, 29 states have considered this. Many have passed it. And there are a lot of levels of governance. Individual schools are doing their thing. Remember the University of Miami model, where a sponsor is going to give money to all of the football players via the athletic department. And also you have the superstars going out on their own to get dollars. You have the conferences. You have the individual athletic directors. You have NCAA, which has not weighed in. They've punted. They're not going to weigh in. And ultimately, the states. The feds ought to consolidate. They're not going to do it right away. And as a result, Media Day is dominated by all of the athletic departments talking about how wonderful the NIL is in their schools. So when you listen to the messages this year and you compare them to last year, they sound like recruiting messages. Come to be the highest bidder. We're going to make you some money.
Rick, it also, in the last 24 hours, has been a big topic. The Super Conference, Oklahoma, Texas, they say that they would leave the Big 12 potentially to go to the SEC. From the business aspect, it has to be about the money, right?
Yeah. Now, in the late 80s, before you were thought about or born, we had something called conferences that were not the ones today. Remember the old Southwestern Conference? And the Oklahoma lawsuit against the conference that they were in led to a Supreme Court ruling that then shook things up with super conferences for television rights. This may be the next answer. It's not driven by gaming, but now all of the schools are looking to maximize their revenue. Joe Castiglione, a great athletic director, and the guys at Texas, the same, he's at Oklahoma, and the guys at Texas. So super conference is possible, but look at all the questions. Do you get three automatic spots in the new 12? What is the issue with conference champions? What's the schedule going to look like? The only people that are upset, I think, at that are Texas A&M. They wanted the SEC for themselves. They're probably not going to get it. Sorry about the shot at the late 80s. I'm not quite sure if that's accurate or not. I know you're not going to even talk about it because women don't. Look at that. There you go. See? There you go.
My mom thought about me. I don't think my dad did yet.
Got it. Understand. But, hey, way too much information. All right? Way too much information.
I can't comment on that final thing. I can say I didn't know what the Southwestern Conference was. But hey, Rick, we have about a day until the Tokyo Olympics opening ceremonies happen.
Yeah.
There will be no fans. There have been some COVID cases that have been spiking even within attendees in the Olympic Village. What is the latest that you have for us on the situation in Tokyo?
I have some spies who are actually at the village, and they are very, very interesting comments. They are saying, for example, you know, we are feel like we're isolated. We don't really, some don't feel safe. That's, I don't want to spread that, but look, this is not like a normal bubble. You've got 11,000 athletes who are from 200 countries, and all of those athletes are from various vaccination capable countries. Some haven't even got the program yet. So it is a petri dish. Unfortunately, we can't control all of that. So we're not hearing great things yet. We're hearing tremendous perseverance. Watching opening ceremonies start, the momentum's going to build up. Let's just hope we get through the games. And by the way, let's not forget we've got the Paralympic Games in a while, too.
Just getting through the Olympics and hoping that we have a fair fight to the finish is all that I ask for, and some competitiveness too. Rick Haro, our sports professor here at Sports Grid, joining us. I want to switch to the NFL real quick, just a couple of minutes left. In the last couple of weeks, it's been about Richard Sherman, who doesn't even have a team yet, and he's been handed down about five charges after being pretty violent. There were videos that showed these domestic violence counts. Rick, what have you been hearing about the future of Richard Sherman?
Well, he's got the first set of hearings in mid-August, and then he's got some issues about where he is interested in going value-wise. The hearings are not going to resolve all these charges. I think there are too many to drop summarily. And video doesn't lie. Remember from Ray Rice, video doesn't lie. And so we can pass judgment on all of it. Richard Sherman has been an outspoken ambassador for equity, for fairness, for a lot of social issues. So you've got to give him some goodwill, but videos don't lie. So I don't know what the issue is going to be, other than when the justice system is involved, they usually don't cater to the NFL trade deadlines or other schedules. They set their own schedules.
Rick, only a couple of weeks away from the NFL preseason getting underway. We heard Jerry Jones yesterday as Dallas Cowboys training camp opened. We only have about a minute left here. He said he was willing to do anything to win a Super Bowl. How far do you think Jerry would go to win a Super Bowl for the old Cowboys?
Well, I think he's trying to change the rules. There is a competition committee meeting where the NFC East gets to play with 12 on offense and 12 on defense. I'm not sure that's going to help him, by the way. No expense spared as far as money's concerned for Jerry and Stephen Jones. But people love his heart. They don't love his football acumen, to be honest about it. Spare no expense is great. But the NFL doesn't guarantee you anything other than parity. What you choose to do with that is your own business.
I did see Ezekiel Elliott tweeting out the other day how surprised he is that he's been in the league for so long already. The Dallas Cowboys still have the best odds, plus 105 to win the NFC East. Our sports professor, Rick Haro, he joins us every other Thursday. Thank you for coming on with us and giving us some insight into the business world of sports.
Yes, ma'am, and I ain't taking my daughter to McDonald's. I am not. We're going somewhere nice. So don't perpetuate that rumor. I'm just kidding. Bye. Have a good week.
I would hope so. And I think your daughter could thank me later for giving you crap for it. Coming up next, we'll be right back here on The Morning After. We've got you covered till noon Eastern time on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back on The Morning After on Sports Grid, Sirius XM Channel 204 with Ben Stevens. I'm Arielle Epstein. It's time to take a look at how the futures market's moving. Let's get to Market Movers. Way back on May 3rd, I snapshotted the odds for the National Football League's MVP. We're going to take a look at how that market has moved. Patrick Mahomes is the favorite back on May 3rd at 5-1. Those odds have stayed the same. Aaron Rodgers, however, has moved a little bit. Was 9-1 in May, now at 10-1 on FanDuel. Josh Allen stayed the same at 13-1. Dak Prescott stayed the same at 15-1. Matthew Stafford has gone backwards a little bit from 15-1 to 17-1. Lamar Jackson stayed the same at 17-1. Here's another one that's moved. Tom Brady, 17-1 back in May, has moved to 12-1 today. And Ryan Tannehill, the last one we'll mention, 40-1 back in May, has gone down to 32-1 today on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Ben, which name on this list stands out the most to you?
Nobody, really, if I'm being honest. I mean, all of these favorites are there for a reason. And when you look at the NFL MVP market, they all make sense why they're up there. And I think the numbers are pretty fair for everybody. I don't think anybody really has a tremendous amount of value on this board. Patrick Mahomes, I'm a Chiefs fan. I love Patty. I love everything that goes about Patrick Mahomes. But at plus 500 to win the NFL MVP, I don't like that value at all. I think if I had to look anywhere for any kind of semblance of value, it might be Josh Allen at plus 1,300. It has not moved from May 3rd to where it stands currently on the FanDuel Sportsbook, but 13-1 on Josh Allen, who improved such drastic ways last year, and the Bills are looking primed to be a top contender in the AFC, maybe even making a run to the Super Bowl this year, then I would look maybe at Josh Allen. It's a quarterback-driven award. It's a quarterback-driven league. I still think Josh Allen might have the most value because everybody else, I don't really love the value. Matthew Stafford, 15-1 to 17-1. I don't think that increase provides you any more value than it did at that plus 1,500 number. Tom Brady going down to 12-1. Listen, Tom is about to turn 44 in a couple of weeks. He is still going to be good for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I still expect the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to be in the NFC playoff picture. Are they going to repeat as Super Bowl champions? Are they going to get back to the Super Bowl? I still have questions about that. So the value of the NFL MVP board right now, to me, there's not a ton of it. My eye really is drawn to Josh Allen because I think that's the most value as it currently stands.
Tom Brady won his third MVP back in 2017. That was his last one. The one since then, Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Aaron Rodgers last year. After seeing what Aaron Rodgers did last year, being able to take his Packers team to an NFC championship and for the Packers to be as good as they were last year in the regular season, Aaron Rodgers, up there in age, one of the older quarterbacks in the league, he was still able to win MVP. I could see why somebody like a Tom Brady, who's at 17-1 or even now 12-1, losing that value, could still be of value. Tom Brady is back with the same players that he was with last year. Even though for the most part, if that happened with the team, like I was really hard on the Ravens last year for not making many offensive changes, Tom Brady's going to figure out a way to make his offense different and throw off defenses. That's what makes good quarterbacks. I see value on Brady at 12-1 still. Stafford scares me. It's a new team for him. The Rams' defense could be the one to really stand out over its offense. For the Buccaneers, Tom Brady would be the value I see on the board. I'm too nervous about anyone else. Josh Allen, maybe the only other one at 13-1. Haven't seen movement on his odds yet. Josh Allen's team should be better this year. In fact, Josh Allen was a name I looked at last year when he got a number one wide receiver in Stephon Diggs. Now you're going to add him for a second straight year together. I could see the Buffalo Bills having Josh Allen be the MVP also, Ben.
And when you look at the MVP board right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, the first 10, 15 names, and rightfully so, are all quarterbacks. The next odds that is not a quarterback that falls off after that is Christian McCaffrey and Derrick Henry, both at plus 5,000. So as you're diving through this board, of course, it is a quarterback award for the most part when it comes to the MVP. That is going to be the case. It
Do seems, you remember again, this year, the least, last one who was a non-quarterback to win?
No, because I was going to say maybe Derrick Henry, but he wasn't because that was a couple of years ago and it went to Lamar Jackson. Adrian Peterson? Maybe that's a name that comes to mind? I don't know.
2012. Oh, let's go. Good guess. Adrian Peterson, 2012, won as a running back, obviously. And before that was LaDainian Tomlinson in 2006.
Back when running backs truly meant something to the National Football League, I wonder what their odds were, if there were odds even hung back in those days for 2012. And yes, I say back in those days because it's just about a decade ago or even less than that. But that seems to be where the running back value has left the NFL up until this current point. But as you're looking at this NFL MVP market, Ariel, it wasn't on the board because I'm not sure there's been movement. But if I'm looking for value, I look to the NFC West, and we have talked about it on this show the past couple of weeks, how competitive and tightly contested we expect that division, probably the best division in all of football, to be this upcoming year. And two quarterbacks, not Matthew Stafford, on this board right now that I think have longer odds and have some value are both Russell Wilson at 20-1 plus 2,000 and Kyler Murray at 23-1 plus 2,300. I look at both of those guys, especially Russ. If Russ can lead the Seahawks team to a playoff berth, it will be because of Russell Wilson and what that narrative might be. And Russ has always been a guy that is a guy that drives the narrative in the NFL. He has not received a ton of MVP votes throughout his NFL career. That is a shocking thing to say, but he might be a guy and was off to a super hot start in the first five or six games of the 2020 NFL season last year. If he can continue that pace here in 2021, he has the offensive weapons at his disposal that if he gets the Seahawks to the playoffs and contends for that NFC West crown and for the NFC Championship crown, I think Russell Wilson at plus 2,000, 20-1, actually probably has the best value on the board as I see it right now on FanDuel.
I love it. And yeah, the reason it wasn't on here is because it hasn't moved. Ever since I snapshotted the odds on May 3rd, Russell Wilson's been 20-1 ever since. Wilson is a name to keep an eye on. Kyler Murray hasn't moved either. He's been 23-1 ever since the odds were snapshotted. Those kinds of quarterbacks, it's going to come down to obviously just the improvement on offensive line for Wilson, the improvement defensively for the team. The question with the MVP is, yes, you could be a really good quarterback. Aaron Rodgers was great last year, but his defense was able to step up too. And to me, Ben, the question is, how much are we putting weight on the individual statistics of the quarterback versus the overall performance of the team? Because most likely you're not giving out an MVP if Kyler Murray's team is still sitting at 500.
Yeah, and that will be a huge factor for it. So that's where you have to take into account when you look at these future markets and the individual awards. It's most valuable player, so it's not just stats. It's how well did the team do. The reason Aaron Rodgers took over the NFL last year was, of course, stats, but his Packers were on the brink of getting to a Super Bowl. You could look a couple of years ago at Patrick Mahomes, what he did to wow the NFL and set new records when it came to touchdown passes, but also the Chiefs on the brink of getting to the Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson, the top seed for the Baltimore Ravens, I believe it was, or the second best seed the year that he won the NFL MVP. So all that is correlated to team success. So that's where I think you can find value. That's why I look at Russell Wilson at plus 2,000, because we know the Seahawks, who are plus 270 to win the NFC West, I believe, have some of that value if they can get out of a very tough division, a gauntlet of a division, and Russell Wilson being the main reason that could potentially happen. So it's all correlated when you look at these future markets. But Ariel, it's not just the NFL MVP. There are so many player props up right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. You could look specifically at an individual player and their stats for the upcoming year, whether it's receiving, passing yards. You could look who will have the most
passing yards
if you want to find it. I mean, it's just ridiculous when you see it. You scroll down, you're like, oh, my God, I'm getting lost in this. You're seeing guys like Calvin Ridley, regular season total receiving yards. You could see rushing totals, all that stuff the FanDuel Sportsbook is providing to you. So if, like me, you look at the NFL MVP market and you don't think there's a ton of value out there, especially with some of the favorites right now, maybe you dive into a guy you want to target, though, in the overall futures market and just look specifically at his player props for total yards on the year and do your best estimations. I know our guy, Ryan Williams, coming up here in just a couple of minutes from FanDuel, has a couple of those props to look at. And so you can take that handicapping and that expertise to find certain value in the futures market of individual players outside of individual teams. It's a fascinating market on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And again, they give you so many different ways to look to the future, to look to the NFL preseason and into the regular season to try to find some value even right now on July 22nd.
Ben, you love college football. You love college sports. We're going to see a bunch of different players who are going to have odds up on the FanDuel Sportsbook, whether it's passing yards, rushing yards, touchdowns, etc. A lot of rookies may have numbers that are undervaluing the performance that they could actually have. Who's a player who's going to be a rookie this year, whether it's quarterback, running back, receiver, that you would look to target their prop at because you feel maybe they'll be undervalued?
Well, let me take a look right here. I think you could maybe look at a guy like Justin Herbert and see some value there. He's not a rookie per se going into his second year, but maybe some value there. When you look at rookies, right now you see Trevor Lawrence. His over-under for total passing yards in the 2021 NFL regular season is 4,150.5. You would really have to dive into the metrics to have an understanding of what the top of a rookie quarterback has been in terms of passing yards to see if there's a track record, a trend, and a precedent to get to that large of a number. Because when you compare Trevor Lawrence to Zach Wilson, he's at 4,150.5. Zach Wilson, 3,850.5. And then have an understanding of how these offenses are going to play out in their rookie season. That's an interesting thing to do, to look at that number. But if you're going to target a couple of rookies, of course, Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson are there. Wait till Justin Fields pops up. He's not going to be a week one starter as of right now for the Chicago Bears. No props as of yet, but he's a guy I would target maybe on a week-to-week basis when your prop markets are getting played.
someone who's been targeting these futures markets, Ryan Williams from FanDuel. He's going to join us next to talk about him. Stay here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On the morning after on Sports Grid, Sirius XM Channel 204. With Ben Stevens, I'm Ariel Epstein. This time of year, not only in college football do we have media days happening this week, we have training camps opening up in the NFL. It is never too early, and I am so excited because we are going to talk about NFL futures with Ryan Williams from FanDuel. Ryan, the NFL training camps are approaching. Some players have arrived already. Others will be arriving within the next couple of weeks. What do you look at this time of year when it comes to betting on the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, this is a fun time, Ariel. When, I mean, you're just talking about last year, 2020, we didn't even have this time of year. We didn't have training camp. So now we're going to be able to, you know, kind of see where pieces fall in. You know, we get to see where we write through, you know, the end of February all the way up to this point on what the depth charts look like. How are teams utilizing their new pieces? This is going to be fun. And especially for the rookies coming in, this will be a great evaluator. You know, we didn't get to see a guy like Justin Jefferson come in and take the lead by storm in training camp or in preseason. Shout out to my guys who play preseason DFS, but I digress. It's a fun time to kind of get ahead on the market and kind of monitor those things and monitor beat writers as they talk about things that are going on in training camp.
Ryan, especially at this time too, when you have some fresh faces joining a new football team in training camp, it might be an idea of where to jump in and get some value. I know when you look at the NFL MVP market, which Ariel and I just discussed this last segment, one of those new faces that has some of the shortest odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook is Matthew Stafford, the new quarterback for the LA Rams. He is plus 1,700 right now on FanDuel to win the NFL MVP. Do you think there is value there backing the new quarterback in Los Angeles?
Absolutely, there's value there, Ben. And I think this number even moved a little bit, if I'm not mistaken. He was 16-1, I believe, a little bit when this had opened up. And now he's moved back. And you got to think it's because of the Cam Akers injury that they just suffered. But for me, that even more so puts Stafford into the realm of the MVP conversation because it's going to be all on him. Listen, I've talked about this before. They've hedged their future for Matthew Stafford to come in there and win them a Super Bowl. And so when you're looking at it from that standpoint, I think Sean McVay, like as I like to call him, is going to do everything in his power to give Matthew Stafford a chance to succeed in this offense. So you got to love the outlook there for Matthew Stafford. And if you do like the Rams, if you are buying into them and playing in the NFC Championship, then I think you got to like these odds of Matthew Stafford reigning in that MVP, which is a quarterback award.
Speaking like a true fantasy sports player, everyone loves Matthew Stafford in fantasy. Ryan, going into comeback player of the year, you're looking at another quarterback, and it's the former Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz. He's at 10-1 to win comeback player of the year. Why do you see this year's fit being better than his old team?
Yeah, well, you talk about Carson Wentz. I mean, listen, this guy struggled so mightily last year. The Philly offensive line couldn't block for him. It's just not the Carson Wentz that we were used to seeing. Now, luckily for Carson Wentz, he gets reunited with a guy who was there in Philly when he was having his MVP season in Frank Wright, who's now the coach. So I think there's a reason why Indianapolis brought him in. You got to love that. And then you're looking at comeback player is not necessarily a quarterback award, but I think that since like 2008, nine comeback players of the year have been quarterbacks. And so in the past three have been quarterbacks. So you're looking at that, and it's just a story that we can buy into, right? When I look at comeback player of the year, you're looking at Alex Smith winning the award last year. Like, that's a story you can buy into with Carson Wentz coming to a new team, getting back into maybe not MVP conversation, right? But if he's leading the Colts to the playoffs and they look mighty and they got a good defense to go along with it, I think think that is in a prime spot to take home this award. And you got to love the 10-1 odds on him to win it.
So, Ryan, two award picks there in both Matthew Stafford and Carson Wentz that are playing for new teams. So when you're monitoring training camp as we get ready to go in the preseason, what are some of the headlines you're looking for out of a new quarterback in a new system that would make you feel optimistic about their future in the 2021 NFL season?
Yeah, well, you definitely just want to see how they're reacting to the new system and what type of plays that they're running. You want to see that they're explosive. You want to see that they're jiving with their weapons who are there. I love this time of year because you kind of can get a little bit ahead of things, and we have something to go off of with OTAs, but now even with training camp, you get to kind of see, like, hey, you know, who is Justin Fields, the backup, so to speak, quarterback for the Bears? Like, who does he favor? Is he more of a Darnell Mooney guy? Does he have a rapport with a third wide receiver of, you know, Damir Bird, who's coming in, or Anthony Miller, who people have forgotten about? Or is it really Allen Robinson, the alpha in that wide receiver group? It's a fun time to kind of see where the pieces fall with all of these teams, and especially when you have that foundation to go off of for the future bets. That's a nice way to get ahead of the curve.
Mike McCarthy, coaching in his second year down in Dallas, Coach of the Year, 25-1. It's a really tough award to cap. How did you go about finding this one and figuring out where the value was?
Yeah, well, Ariel, we've talked numerous times. I'm not high on the Dallas Cowboys at all. I have an under on the disclaimer. I do have an under on them. But when we're talking about, okay, so a lot of people love the Cowboys, right? And so you're looking at all the different bets that you can get. Dak MVP, people want to bet on Zeke's leading the league in rushing, things of that nature. Maybe you want to bet on the wide receivers. But when it comes down to it, okay, if the Dallas Cowboys are like the team this year, then I don't see any way that Mike McCarthy at least isn't in the conversation for Coach of the Year, if not getting this award, because America's team, they always have people behind them. And so when you're looking at these odds here of 25-1 for him to win the award, I just thought that was way too low. I mean, talk about storylines. This would be a great storyline for him to kind of come into the mold with this team. People were kind of doubting him last year, but Dak is maybe comes back healthy and they could really, you know, sweep the awards market if they do come to that fruition. And this is probably one of the best values that you can get on the Dallas Cowboys team.
Ryan, Ariel and I, in our last segment, were blown away by the options that the FanDuel Sportsbook has when you look at the futures market and even diving into individual player awards, or not even so much awards, but just player props for the 2021 NFL season and regular season long props of passing yards, receiving yards, rushing yards. You have one for Julio Jones, the newest acquisition for the Tennessee Titans. How do you go about capping that market? What metrics and analytics are you looking at to try to predict what a guy might do production-wise for an upcoming season?
Yeah, well, I'm looking at it just from the standpoint of maybe I'm galaxy braining it, but I'm not high on their rushing attack this year, so to speak. I mean, I think their new offensive coordinator, Downing, there, he's a little vanilla with the offense, but you're looking at what Arthur Smith kind of left behind, and I just don't think the offense will be the same. I think the defense is going to struggle, and so when I'm looking at that from an overall view, I'm looking at, okay, so how are they going to succeed, or how are they going to be successful? And Ryan Tannehill, over the past 2 years with that team, has been pretty efficient and has been targeting, you know, these wide receivers very well. He's been very accurate with the ball. And so you bring in a guy like Julio Jones, who's basically going to be catapulted into what Corey Davis's role was last year. And with AJ Brown on the other side, like, these guys should eat in this offense. And if they're in, you know, negative game scripts, I think they're going to be passing even more. And so that's kind of really what I like there. And with Julio Jones at his odds, I mean, you're getting this number with him at 10.25.5 for his receiving yard, and that's just ridiculous. When this dude has played in 14 or more games, he's crushed that number. So basically you're just saying he's not going to be healthy for the entire year. Otherwise, this dude's going to go out there and ball. It's just a way too low number for Julio Jones in an offense that, you know, should still compete, and you're looking at that division, and that's not a competitive division for him. So he'll have a lot of favorable matchups in his future.
Ryan, when it comes to new faces, whether it's a new team, whether it's a rookie, how do you take those numbers and try to figure out how this new fit is going to work?
Yeah, I think that's always a tough thing for all of us to decipher, right, Ariel? And so when you're talking about, you know, we do get training camps, I think the thing that I like to do is just look at, you know, you look at Offensive Rookie of the Year and even Defensive Rookie of the Year, if that's something, if that's your cup of tea. But you want to look at these things and see where the money's falling or where things are lying, and look at training camp and how these guys are utilized. I mean, a guy like, you know, Trey Sermon, who I've talked about before on possibly being Offensive Rookie of the Year. Like, we know San Francisco likes to run the ball. They have an injury at the position. Raheem Mostert's always banged up. Like, do we take a chance on him at possibly, you know, winning that award? Or looking at some of these receivers who are going to be dynamic. I mean, people are kind of sleeping on some of these rookie receivers who could be in good spots to kind of, you know, really, really catapult themselves to the top there. So I think really important to know kind of how teams are utilizing their players before. And even as we talk about like preseason and the, you know, I'm in tune to training camp and preseason, but not a lot of people are until they start their fantasy drafts at the end of August. So I don't even think the lines will move all too much until we get to maybe that third preseason game. And you could already be ahead of the curve based off of your notes that you've been taking up season leading up to that point.
Ryan Williams, that's why you are a true pros pro, because you transitioned me so well into the next question I was going to ask you. I think at this point, when people approach the futures market for an upcoming NFL season, a lot of it is team win totals or Super Bowl future markets. But when you look at all of these player props and the player awards, do you think there are edges to be had in this market as opposed to maybe some of the team futures you might see on the FanDuel Sportsbook?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, listen, we don't want to be prisoners prisoners of the past, I think is a term that people use. But it still gives us credence to kind of know, like, how teams are, like, if the regime hasn't changed over, if the offensive, you know, coordinator and coaches are still around and that's still the same scheme that they're going to be running, okay, we know how they're going to be utilizing their pieces. And if new pieces come in, I mean, we talk about something like Stephon Diggs, right, last year. So Stephon Diggs, this guy, you know, to be the overall number one receiver, the odds were so favorable in his favor, and you looked at it and they hedged their first round pick to bring him in there with Josh Allen. And Josh Allen had not been, you know, the success that he was last year up to that point. But because of what we know with Stephon Diggs, and every one of Stephon Diggs, or I guess Kirk Cousins' numbers with Stephon Diggs, like, he had helped them in that regard, in play action, in efficiency. And so you're thinking about that with a guy, Josh Allen, who struggled in those numbers. You bring Stephon Diggs, okay, that boosted him up. So I think it's really nice to kind of look into the weeds and kind of see, you know, these things. DeAndre Hopkins, you know, he ends up being the wide receiver 4 in fantasy last year, but he switched teams, you know, from, and he could have even been more efficient because his touchdown numbers were down by like 3% off of the targets that he was getting. So, you know, you like to take chances on things, and you look into the, I guess, analytics, as you guys were saying, and just try and base that off of, and just get good bets in at this time, because at the end of the day, you know, we're all just trying to get ahead of the curve and to try and get that big payout or get a favorable payout that makes sense. And so that's kind of what I like to do, is just kind of let the cards fall as they may, and then make my bets off of that.
30 seconds, Ryan. How much are you going to be willing to bet those preseason games?
Oh, my God. I'm going to be betting all of them, Ariel. This is, we didn't have it last year, so I'm carrying over the units from last year and putting them into this year. It's going to be fun. Preseason bets, preseason DFS, you can count me in for all of it.
A lot of people say that's where you actually do find some good value, spring training games, preseason games. Yep. Maybe I'll give it a try this year. I'll just follow your advice. Ryan Williams from FanDuel. Absolutely. Follow his advice all over social media and the FanDuel platforms. Ryan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Coming up next, we're going to close out hour number 2 here on The Morning After on Sports Grid. We've got you covered until noon Eastern time with Ben Stevens. I'm Ariel Epstein. A lot more to get to, and make sure to stay here, because coming up in hour 3, we are going to have some of our best bets and Major League Baseball picks of the day. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back on the Morning After on Sports Grid. Time to close out hour number two with Ben Stevens. I'm Ariel Epstein. Let's get to Guess the Line. All this news surrounding Oklahoma and Texas trying to go over to the SEC potentially. With that said, Oklahoma is at minus 170, the favorite to win the Big 12 this year. Guess the line for what it would be for Oklahoma if they were in the SEC, Ben.
So you have Alabama in the SEC is the odds-on favorite at minus 160. Georgia, pretty short odds with the second shortest at plus 190. I think if you're going to throw Oklahoma in there, if you were to throw them into the mix for just this year, 2021, and no, the Sooners will not be playing in the SEC this short of time in 2021. But if you did, I think you'd have to put Oklahoma around plus 350, plus 400. I think they would probably have the third shortest odds in what would be an ultra-competitive SEC. How would that break down from a divisional standpoint? That remains to be seen. But when you look at the futures board for the national championship, Alabama has the shortest odds, the favorite at plus 250. Georgia, plus 500. Oklahoma, the fifth shortest odds at 8-1, plus 800. So I think when you would attract that in the SEC, you would take the Big 12 odds on favorite, the Sooners at minus 170, make them plus 350 in the SEC. But Ariel, I think that goes to show Oklahoma and Texas potentially forming a super conference would not be about earning more wins from a competition standpoint. It's all about the money. TV right contracts are huge, and that's what Oklahoma and Texas are chasing.
The odds would be very crazy. I mean, Oklahoma is just used to winning this conference every year under their head coach, Lincoln Riley, and now having to go to the SEC to compete against Nick Saban? That would be fun, but does it hurt the college football playoffs? It remains to be seen. But we do have to close out hour number two here, which means we say goodbye to our MSG audience. Tune into sportsgrid.com, find out which platform works best for you. Hour three, our happy hour. We'll give out our best bets of the day, Major League Baseball picks, and some more great guests. You can catch it on SiriusXM, Channel 204 and 1090 The Mightier. We'll be right back.
Since you were a little kid, you've always loved sports.
So have we.
One of us. One of us. One of us.